My name is Lawrence Allen.
I'm Ronald Shaw.
I'm Rahul Vora.
And this is Bad Time Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Bad Time Radio. This is the second episode in our Resident Evil series. We are talking about Resident Evil Apocalypse. And as is traditional for our Resident Evil episodes, we are joined by resident movie summarizing expert, Brandon. And let's go around the room. And what did you guys think of this episode? Or sorry, this movie. I'll go first, I guess. I thought that this was a significant step down in terms of quality from the first one. The first one, you guys kind of, over the course of 2.5 hours, battered me into conceding might actually be a goodish movie, whereas this one is just stupid as shit. But it is so fun and so like acidine and hits at so many of the stupid things that are gonna happen in the series that I loved this movie in a way that I could never dream of for the first one. Ronald, what do you think?
I kind of agree with your assessment here. Like, it was like categorically a worse movie than the first one, but I kind of enjoyed it more because it was so stupid. There's just some incredibly dumb parts that make no sense throughout the movie. And, you know, I get why it happens, but it doesn't really fit into the story in any kind of meaningful way. And it's kind of beautiful, like how the decision-making process in this movie. So this is definitely a recommend from me.
Rahul, what did you think?
First of all, I recommend this. And secondly, my impression is that it's kind of a weird recommendation because it was terrible, but it's actually worse than I remember. So, like, I still recommend it, but yeah, it was a lot worse than I remember.
It's so bad, dude.
So, still recommend it, but yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, I recommend it, but it sucks. Kind of our credo. Brandon, what do you think?
I agree with the sentiment that it was a big step down from the first movie, and it was worse than I remembered. I'm going to go with the crazy logical statement that I don't recommend it on that basis. I guess I'm the outlier in that respect. I think it could have been colored by the fact that I just remembered the general plot and I knew what was going to happen. But I think after like the first 15 minutes or so, I was just waiting for it to be over.
You weren't waiting for that sweet, sweet Alice versus Nemesis fight?
Well, that was still good. That was an uptick that I would say that was one of the good points. But everything else, I was just waiting to get through it.
Fair enough. Hopefully the next movies are more to your taste when there's like armies of clones and psychic powers.
They certainly will not be.
Those might also be worse than I remember, but I still think those might get a recommend from me. But yeah, this one's a pass.
That's something to look forward to.
I think if you go talk to like Resident Evil fans, they regard this one as one of the weak links in the series, partially because Paul W.S. Anderson didn't direct this. Although I still think it's this movie where the series starts to get good for my particular busted version of good. Anyways, let's go ahead and roll for the summary.
Wait, hold up real quick. Why did Anderson not direct this? Who did instead?
Just some no-name guy, I think. And I have no idea why. I don't really care to get into the background, or I don't care enough about the production to look it up. Anyways, right. Dice roll. I can't share. There's no way for me to share, so you guys are going to have to trust me. It's going to be Brandon 1-2, Lawrence 3-4, Ronald 5-6, and Rahul 7-8.
Sounds good.
Shit, we got a Rahul episode. So, Rahul? Well, this is what this format was made for. Rahul, everyone else get ready to mute. And Rahul?
Mute yourself, boys.
You want me to mute Lawrence, or have you got it?
Just mute your mics. And Rahul?
Okay, so I watched
No! 3, 2, 1.
All right, so I watched this a long time ago, like 4 weeks ago, which is basically an eternity. Let's see, Alice wakes up and she's either released or escapes from an umbrella facility into the town that you see at the end of the last movie, which is obviously Raccoon City, which has been totally devastated by a plague/obviously T-virus. she's running through and she meets up with some people who are, well, Umbrella seals the city because they have this power to do so. And their plans to, I don't know if it's revealed now or later, but I'll just get to it. Their plan is to nuke the city and make it look like a nuclear accident. So the city's sealed. Alice is in there trying to escape. She runs into some people. So they're battling their way through this infested city, and they get hailed on like some phone. There's some Umbrella insider who invented the T-virus. His daughter is stuck in the city and they need her help to find the daughter. In return for that, he's going to tell her where there's going to be a helicopter. In the meantime, Umbrella releases... let's see. Anyway, they like run around. Umbrella's doing some stupid experiment with some super monster. They run around. They eventually get to the helicopter. Alice fights the super monster. She beats it, question mark, sort of, really. Not really.
You know, Raul?
Yeah.
Pretty good work, I think, overall. Yeah.
That, compared to one of the other ones that you did, you know, you actually covered most of the movie.
Yeah, and then I guess just to summarize or finish up, they escape. The city still gets nuked. The Nemesis briefly regains control of his faculties to kill the people who made him the Nemesis, because it turns out he's a guy who made eye contact with Mila Jovovich in the last movie, so they're now in love. And then Alice gets put back in an Umbrella Corporation facility. It's unclear why they keep experimenting on her, because she clearly hates them and keeps trying to kill them over and over, but they do it anyways. They give her psychic powers, and then she and Odin Fair escape, and they're going to go have adventures. And at one point, she looks at a guy at a security monitor and then does some Ringu shit where she shows up on every of the security monitors like that he's looking at, and then he is like, eyes start bleeding and he dies. So she's briefly also Samara. And that's the end of that. So, yeah, let's get into some high points. Brandon, would you like to start us off?
That's a tough one. I honestly think the only high point is the fight with Alice and Nemesis. But even that, I kind of didn't like the way that they shot it. A lot of it was like blurry, like arm goes here and barely misses something, or like things like that. But overall, it was pretty cool. And I think the way that she ended up beating him with the torn, where he tears off a piece of metal to have a sword, but that leaves an exposed spike. Then she later like kicks him 3 times to back him into it. Like, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, the fight scenes, we'll talk about this in the low points. The fight scenes in this are incompetently edited in a way where they had to work so hard to make them worse, and it's very strange. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to tell you
It's like
guys,
they had something cool, and like for some reason the camera work is just trying to make it look less cool.
I think that the camera work might be okay. I legitimately think it's that weird stutter step.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Sorry. It's the editing.
I have a note about the slow-mo is that it was just constant. And it was infuriating. Like, just give up on the slow-mo, guys. It's not working.
Like, you're not the Matrix. You'll never be the Matrix.
I mean, you can't do slow-mo if you only got 2 frames every second. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not real slow-mo. Like,
They did it as, like, blurry slow-mo.
It feels like a very, like, early 2000s thing.
It does.
Like, I feel like a lot of movies.
In the very beginning. It annoyed me. When they're fighting in like Germany or something.
Yeah. There's a scene in like Ocean's 11 where it's like, it feels really out of place where that happens too. And it's just like, why is it doing this?
Like,
it's a weird style. Like,
I don't know.
I mean, slow-mo has existed as a concept since at least 1960s and probably earlier.
But I'm saying, do they not have the camera technology to actually do like they must have.
They could do real slow motion, but I think this is like a stylistic choice to like kind of the blurry slow frames. It's not really slow mo.
Anyways, I have a good high point. Well, actually I have two. First off, a sincere one, which is that the Nemesis, They went practical with him, and that was a good choice. It's a pretty sharp-looking monster suit. I don't understand what the fuck Umbrella is trying to do with him, but in terms of just a giant fuck-off monster that runs around with big guns and shoots stuff, pretty cool.
Why? So, okay, explain to me how the robotic part of him. Because he has software inside of him, like the Terminator, but no part of him looks robotic at all.
He's got those weird cables.
I thought that was he does have the cables. That's true.
Which I assume pump T-virus. They're connected from his T-virus organs to his brain to keep him properly T-virus. So
is he just 2004? So. Is he just like a combination of every movie villain that the director had seen? So he's like Bane and the Terminator and Frankenstein.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you're saying that as a joke, but I mean. This is an anime. This is a pretty straight, as far as I can remember, copy of the design of this guy from Resident Evil 3. And, that is probably how they got there, frankly.
But Resident Evil 3, it's like the graphics are pretty low res. You can't really tell what the hell's going on.
Yeah, it just looks like polygons and goo.
And I haven't played that one in a really long time, but I don't think he's half robot.
I played the remake, and I remember him being pretty robotic, but on the other hand, I was mostly watching it for that chick from Antrim, which is, of course, the most Lawrence reason possible to play a video game. It starred a chick he liked in a low-budget horror movie. But anyways, so, yeah, I don't know.
What was up with the Nemesis killing off STARS guys? Was it literally just...
It's a
because they
test,
wanted to
dude.
Test how strong
it's
you are.
It's the perfect time for a field test.
They didn't have anyone else in the city for him to be tested against beyond Alice. So.
Which is why it's the perfect
zombies?
Time for a field test.
Yeah, but zombies are pathetic. I mean, he is a zombie. Like, would zombies even attack him?
They don't appear to, no.
Yeah.
They recognize
maybe if he started
him
shooting
at
him, they would.
I mean, I feel like he should have hunted the lickers, but...
But I mean, like, he was immune to bullets. They already knew that. What was the point?
Maybe he wasn't. You, how many times have you deployed code that you thought had no bugs? And then, like, as soon as it hit its production, bam, bug. Maybe they were making
never once. Never once.
What kind of weird scenario is that?
You get bugs in your code, bro? That's embarrassing.
Oh, loser.
Disgusting, dude.
God damn it.
Your buggy ass code over here. Get out of here.
Anyways, I want to get to my more ironic high point, which is that there is a scene where, our good guys are approaching a helicopter. And it's all like, oh, cool. You know, they're taking out some bad guys. It's going good. And then suddenly, oh, shit, you see him through a scope and boom, an Umbrella sniper is drawing a bead. But then suddenly, and you cut to him and he's on top of a skyscraper. But then suddenly his scope is obstructed and Alice is standing there. And she just goes, and then kills him horribly. And then for reasons I do not understand, she jumps off the skyscraper, does this really, really cool thing where she's running down the building. And I wonder if they actually had Mila Jovovich do it because it looks that good. And then she just kind of lands and karate fights some guys. And it's unclear why she felt the need to be on top of that building.
Well, pistols aren't that accurate.
Was there any other point of ingress? Is that the only way? Was from the skyscraper right next to the helipad? I think that's the scene, right?
Or like, why... how's this? Why did she have to be in charge of taking out both the sniper and the dudes on the ground? Why can't Oded Fair take out the dudes on the ground?
I think it's because she's a superhuman.
Okay. Then why does she need to rappel? Why can't she just jump?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's not really clear how durable she is.
Yeah. Anyway, so, anyone else got some high points?
Yeah. All right. There's a scene where they're like all in a church, right? And there's these two lickers come in, which are like these super zombies, and you know they're like kill off some people, and it's pretty dangerous in there. And then somehow Alice just like comes in through, like is on a motorcycle, bursts through like a second story window and lands on a licker. And it's like, she couldn't have known that anyone was in there. So she was just driving around in a motorcycle, crashing through windows.
I want to clarify that she jumps through a stained glass window so it could look extra cool.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. And it happens that she saves all their bacon, but like she couldn't have known that was going to happen.
So you think that there's a bunch of stuff they don't show in the movie where she just jumps through a window on her motorcycle, discovers there's nothing in there but zombies, and then has to leave embarrassed?
I think that she's just, you know, taking advantage of the situation, destroying some property. I mean, that's what I would do.
She, later in that same scene, she crushes a liquor under a cross in a move that feels like it means something, but I can't figure out what it could possibly mean.
He's a saves, bro. That's what it means.
It's about as understandable as what the Alice in Wonderland metaphor was in the first one.
They went to Wonderland. Wonderland is a weird place full of zombies. Everyone knows that if you played American McGee's Alice or American McGee's Alice Madness Returns.
Yeah, as everyone knows, at the end, Alice barely escapes out while getting the virus from the zombies or something. That's how Alice in Wonderland goes.
Yeah. Oh, another high point. So at the first movie, they have Oscar Isaacs doing voiceover. And I think that the idea is that they're building him up as this bad guy and that he's going to come back in the second one. And in this movie, not only is there no Oscar Isaacs, they don't really explain what happened to that guy. It's just a different guy now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even know. I guess maybe he was supposed to be whatever the weird British guy who dies at the very end is.
I think he's supposed to be character. The sinister blonde guy, the German.
Oh, but yeah, German, whatever. He ambiguous European accent.
The problem, of course, is that Oscar Isaacs he's not using it, but he has a lovely Irish accent or a flat American accent, depending, not a sinister German accent. So it's sort of just like a guy says, open the hive. I need to find out what goes down there. And then a different evil umbrella guy takes over the action and that's it.
Yeah, you know, Oscar Isaac just left. He had places to be.
He's like, okay, we peaked.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of that dude with the German accent, he's my high point because as soon as he steps into the camera, you know he's evil. It's so great. Like,
the movie does do a good job of telling you things without saying it, but then they say it anyways.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah.
Let's see, what other high points do I have? For some reason the Umbrella Police Department decide that the best way to deal with an outbreak of zombieism is they pick the middle of a very broad and busy intersection, set up a very small barricade, and then just shoot all of their guns until they run out of ammo and get overrun by zombies. They don't think set up a building or anything like that. I mean, I would do what they do later, I guess, and set up in a building. Although that also didn't work because then the nemesis shows up and kills them all.
Yeah, I mean, I think if the nemesis is hunting you, you're pretty much screwed.
Unless you got an Alice.
Even then.
You guys probably remember the first movie better than I did. Did they do enough to establish their relationship that the thing where the nemesis...
Yeah, there was almost no relationship. Yeah. He was just the guy who was brother to the sister.
Yeah, I think that's how it works.
Yeah. I think she had respect for him.
But this whole, like, he's gonna romantic. I mean, I guess it sort of makes sense because Mila Jovovich is just so fucking hot. But unless you're, going that crude, it doesn't seem like he should be able to fight off his cybernetic programming and murder his masters.
It's really not Umbrella's style, I feel. I mean, I don't know that much about this mythos, but I feel like it's not Umbrella's style to do cybernetics. They're mostly just, bio stuff.
They're mostly just T-virus.
Yeah, they're mostly just T-virus.
They're T-virus-based organizations.
T-virus and money, that's kind of their whole thing.
And having a tactical nuclear weapon for some reason.
I guess that's kind of technology. Yeah,
also, they specify that they're going to make the nuclear weapon blast look like a meltdown, which appears to imply that the power plant is located at the center of town. Not where you normally put those.
Yeah,
anyways.
A bold choice.
It's also, I don't think that the power plant meltdown would be like a giant nuclear explosion, but, you know.
No, certainly not. But yeah. they did sort of explain that in the end with their... Okay, so the tape was released, and it kind of made a stink, but then Umbrella was able to...
Yeah, they said it was fake.
Story. So they just have so much power that they can even nuke a town and get away with it.
It's supposed to be this very dark fable about how corporations face no accountability, although it's undone somewhat by us knowing that in the next film, the T-virus just eats the sea and none of this mattered.
Is that?
At all.
Well, wow, that really escalated fast. I thought we had to wait a few movies.
No, it's the next movie.
It's the next movie.
All right.
they got bored with the premise they'd been working on and are just like, fuck it, there's no more oceans.
Well, this is the last movie that's like a zombie movie. I mean, obviously the zombies are still in the other ones, but they're not the real threat anymore, right?
I mean, I feel like four was maybe a zombie movie still.
The one where they're stuck in the prison because the they decided to try to cut back on all the like random bullshit. That's the one where the army of psychic Alice clones dies in the first scene.
I'm not gonna lie, I don't really remember the movies that well, I trust you guys.
A flock of dangerous zombie crows.
And Alice has to defeat them using her psychic powers, yes. And a flamethrower.
And a flamethrower.
Yes.
Yeah. Huh.
These movies got so far from where they started.
Oh, here's another high point. When one of the guys is just driving down the street, runs over two zombies and is like, GTA, motherfuckers! And then gets distracted because there's two naked zombies and crashes his car. Yeah.
And is that man an African-American? Yes. Does he embody every single weird negative stereotype that we had in the early 2000s about what African-Americans are like? Yes. He's also the comic relief, but don't worry, he's a coward and stupid.
Hey, he does survive the Nemesis attack, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
He's smart enough to put his guns down.
Guys, I texted this before, but I really want to say it on the pod.
Zomboobs.
Yeah, those do exist in the movie. Very briefly.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a legit high point.
Okay.
I thought that the Stars team in the church was... I enjoyed that. It was, like, creepy. All the way up until Alice appeared, I thought it was good. Because they were, like, outgunned, trying to survive.
They're acting fairly intelligently given the situation, which is not something that other people in the movie
They're trapped in a church. It's like the situation's no good. They have basically no chance.
They go back to back. They try to shoot the liquors. They're conserving their ammo as best they can. It doesn't really work because
Shit upstairs with that dude.
I just remembered a great high point for me. So they're hiding in the church probably about 10 hours after the outbreaks happened, right?
Yeah,
so one of them is going into the back room and they see a creepy person tied in a chair or hanging out in a chair, which happens in this movie several times. They'll be walking towards a creepy person and, you know, whatever. But anyway, so they walk up and they turn the person around and it's a zombie and they are strapped to the chair. And then they look down at the floor and there's like all these like severed limbs and they realize that the priest of the church has like this woman who I assume is his wife strapped to
his
chair.
His sister.
His sister. Okay, he has her strapped to this chair and he's been feeding her like parts of bodies. And it's like, that's a long way to have gone in 10 fucking hours, dude.
It's like, how hungry was she, man?
Because it was a lot of body parts, too.
And most of them don't look that eaten. It's like he presents one to her, she nibbles it a little and decides she doesn't like the taste. Like when I'm trying out new foods on my cats.
Oh, I have another high point. Okay, so the introduction to Jill.
No.
Oh, right. This part is incredible.
The introduction to Jill is it just like shows her walking into her apartment where she has some newspaper clippings up about her own suspension. I don't know why she felt the need to put that up in her house, but she gets a radio broadcast.
Humble, Ronald.
Yeah, she gets a radio broadcast. I assume this is the beginning of the outbreak, so this is the first time anyone has seen zombies. Okay, so she puts on her work boots and then immediately goes to the police station. And as soon as she walks in, she just domes like five guys and says they were infected. And it's like, okay. First off, did you even know those guys were zombies? Second of off, how do you even know that there's no cure at this point? Because it seems like this has just started. Like,
yeah, and later she'll say, hit it, Brandon.
It's even weirder than that because she says she shoots them. She says they were infected. And then she says, "I told you to shoot them in the head." Like, when did she tell them?
Yeah.
What?
Who'd you tell that?
So I guess she had some weird zombie side adventure that the movie never tells us about it anyway, and I guess got suspended from the police for it, maybe?
But it makes no sense because she just got home and she was in high heels, which makes you think she was out on a social engagement or, you know,
or
at least wasn't necessarily working.
Know?
Like, yeah, it's an outfit that would tell you that she was not, you know, fighting zombies in it, right? Like, that feels like the point of that scene. is that she's changing into like her work outfit. So it's like, was she just like on a date after knowing that there are zombies around town? Or like, did that happen between that scene and the scene in the police station, which seemed to be about 5 minutes apart? Like, I have no idea where she got that information, but
the only
it's
way
pretty
this
insane.
This could possibly work is if she had been part of the team that went into the hive, which maybe that's the case, but if so, the movie does not tell us that.
Well, and she was suspended and didn't work for Umbrella. So yeah,
it doesn't really add up that this character just knows about zombies.
I think that she got suspended for killing someone, and when she came in, she decided to do it again.
Was there maybe a backstory to her being
if there suspended? Is, the movie does not bring it up.
Yeah, no, I mean beyond the movies.
I don't know.
I mean, the only place we can go is the video game, and that's very different. In the video game, she's one of the people who goes into the mansion / lab in the first game, and then she doesn't actually feature in the second one. So,
you know, I want to touch on something that Rahul said earlier about how like how cool it was until Alice showed up. This movie makes a lot more sense as a movie without Alice in it. Like, she just kind of shows up and kills everything. Like, there's a lot more tension with no Alice, right? Like, yes, there's a bunch of people for sure. And it makes more sense why you would be scared for everyone, because you're like, well, how are they even going to do this? But as soon as Alice shows up, you're like, well, I guess she can, like, fly through windows and is super strong and basically unkillable.
For, like, basically no reason, right? Like, she dropped a cross on him.
Right, yeah. So it's like, well, barely. She's not in any danger. I mean, I guess everyone else can still
You're calling
die.
For them to nerf her cross attack?
Yeah, I am. Yes, I'm afraid so.
I don't know. I mean, on the one hand, yeah, if you're trying to make an effective suspense movie, having this character who's like an unkillable superhero probably doesn't work. But on the other hand, if you just want to have a lot of sick, cool shit happen, you know, she's pretty good at making sick, cool shit happen.
Yeah, but it could have built up to it. You know, like as she's coming into her powers, she realizes that she's basically a superhero. I don't think it needed to start off with her being a god.
I don't know. I've seen so many stories of people like coming into their powers. I thought it was pretty cool that she just like, nah, I own it.
All right. Alice is here, guys.
Yeah. Oh, she just gunned down like 30 dudes. Cool.
Yeah, she goes through 5 guns to kill 3 lickers in like 2 minutes. I was charmed by this.
Did she? Yeah. She raided a gun store in the beginning, right?
Yeah, and she stole their tank top and also their fashionable mesh shirts.
Well, of course, you need those. Tacticute.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, you guys want to talk about some low points?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know how much different this discussion will be.
Let me start.
Okay, hit it.
I think Jill Valentine is too cute. Huge low point for me.
Yeah.
I don't think she belonged to this movie. Just way too attractive.
Distracts from Alice or what?
Yeah, like, okay.
There's two extremely attractive women in this.
Way too much. Like, yeah. So, all right. Next.
I guess my serious one is that owing to the extremely strange editing where they show you what happened, they don't ever show you an action. They always show you like the aftermath and then the person about to do it and then cut back to the aftermath, which is such a strange choice. No action scene in this actually works very well. Even ones that conceptually should be pretty sweet, like Alice destroying 4 guys using kung fu, or Alice and the nemesis going out at it using kung fu or something. Just the editing saps them of any ability to like, oh, that was a cool hit, or oh, that was a sweet move, and frustrates and annoys the audience.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad to me that at one point this was considered not just like, you know, okay, but like good even probably. Like there was a time when I watched this movie and didn't think the action scenes were bad.
I don't think that this was ever considered good by most people.
I enjoyed it when I was first growing up. I remember thinking that the Alice Nemesis fight was pretty cool.
Well, we were in like 9th grade, so.
Yeah, I thought it was cool back in the day. Hence my disappointment upon the rewatch.
I mean, I think that the Alice Nemesis fight was still pretty.
I didn't think so.
For the movie, I thought it was pretty good.
Actually, even though we transitioned to the low point section, I was thinking about all the fights, and actually, I think the first fight between Alice and Nemesis, where she first finds him, I think that was a pretty cool Like her trying to attack him and then trying to run away from his rocket launcher and like running through the building and stuff. That was pretty cool.
Oh yeah, that is the one I was thinking of actually.
Probably the good part of the Nemesis Isles interaction.
I also liked when he just like stuck his rocket launcher down the tube and just fired it blindly. That was pretty good. That's what I would have done.
And then she like flips up inside the world's most durable like trash car.
Plastic trash can. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I used to work with those at work. They're sturdier than you'd expect, but they still are made of plastic and will melt if exposed to that kind of heat.
They also crack. Yeah. Like not that difficult.
Yeah. Oh, it's a rocket also. So
yeah, that kind of they're not military grade.
Yeah, and this even isn't the military a tank, grade like one. She's hiding it. This is a fucking plastic trash thing basically. Yeah.
Okay, I've got a low point. There's a part where like Jill is with, I think he's with the little girl, I don't remember exactly. And there's these dogs attacking him, and then Olivera's partner, this Russian guy Nikolai, like comes in and saves them. And you know, he has like his badass little intro, and then Jill's like just kind of watching him, and then like a dog attacks and he blocks it, and he's like, go get the girl. I'll take care of this. And Jill's like, oh, okay. And just leaves. And it's like, Jill, just shoot him, shoot the dog. Like it would take you 2 seconds and then you guys could go together. Instead, she leaves him, and then another dog comes in and he dies. And it's like, if Jill had just stayed behind, they would have been fine.
I kind of want to rapid fire a bunch of things that might be nitpicks, but I think collectively annoy me, especially with all the other stuff we talked about.
I hit it.
So early on, they do like a scene where they're doing news reports about the outbreak, and the reporter says there's no explanation for the unexplained murders or something to that effect. And they have the double no explanation bugged me right from the beginning of the movie. The whole zombie arrest scene is confusing because they open the hive and they have this little like radar T-virus tracking thing. And they just like, they when they see them, they're just like swarming out and they can't contain it. And that leads to the outbreak. And I don't know how we go from that, where they're just like flooding and overwhelming these people that were going to like storm the hive, to like, oh, there's just a few on the street. The cops can pick them up and put them in handcuffs and bring them back to the station. Like how are the streets just not flooded and they just don't immediately go into riot mode or something? Very weird. Dr. Ashford, the guy that we've maybe talked about, mentioned once, he gets like evacuated from the city, but his daughter's left inside. Something happens between him and the main guy, and he gets like locked out of his security access. So then when he gets the access denied message on his computer, he just goes the next box down, which is like the hack this account box. And he not only is that really stupid, but he types in a different username that's like some other one of his. So it's like, why wouldn't you just hack your original one? Why do you have to hack this other name? Then
and from what I remember on that, he just does a search.
Like, yeah, it said hack search.
Hack search. Yeah.
So, among other things, this man is a script kiddie.
What offends me?
He invented the T virus, so you know, I'll give cut him some slack.
Why? Yeah. Wait, why is the guy who invented the T virus also a god tier fucking hacker?
They're both nerd shit. Okay, that's all you need to know. Yeah. There's two types of people: nerds, and then like you know, physical being guys.
He's a math guy. He can do all kinds of shit.
Anyways, Brandon, you got some more for us?
Yeah. So then, when they're in the middle school and they go to escape to the kitchen, the dogs follow them by kind of nudging these doors. The doors that close behind them, they just kind of nudge them open and continue following them. Well, the doors open the wrong way. That's not the way they open. They show that multiple times. The doors open the other way. That's annoying. When they're hiding in the kitchen, a zombie like unfolds, like contortionist unfolds herself from one of the shelves and goes after them. And I think it was Jill that's in there. She like grabs her and like after like a short struggle snaps her neck. And it's like, that's the only quiet zombie in the entire fucking series. Like if that zombie had just like went at them, then they would have alerted the dogs, right? So of course they can't do that. So it's a stealth zombie for no reason. Then the moment where Nemesis is coming up on the stars, up until that point, they had showed the sniper on the rooftop that was like headshotting all these zombies, and even headshots a zombie right behind the comic relief black guy. And it's like, oh wow, he's like such an excellent shot. Well, Nemesis shows up, he like shoots him in the body twice and then freaks out and basically runs away because Nemesis pulled out a rocket launcher. It's like, why didn't he try to headshot Nemesis? Why is he shooting his body 5 times? But then the last one is that from like later on in the movie, all the Umbrella like mercenaries slash security people are wearing motorcycle helmets for some reason. I'm not sure why that's like normal head protection. And also they're, when they get hit, their visors shatter like their tempered glass, which they would not be if they were motorcycle helmets.
Look, I think that's OSHA compliant.
Yeah. Actually, those are anti-zombie helmets, you see. Oh, okay. They just look like motorcycle helmets.
To the untrained eye.
Yeah. But I, now this is, I don't know if this is like a complaint or just a sad comment on the state of American policing, but do you guys remember the, like the scene where the STARS guys are for some reason holed up at an intersection?
Right. Yep.
Yeah. And they keep hucking grenades.
Oh, in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are regular grenades. Why did the police have those?
Wait, you said there were STARS though, right?
Yeah, but still, they're not, police officers are not supposed to have fucking grenades. They have flashbangs and shit, but they're not.
Elite.
No, I thought the guys with the grenades were former Umbrella people that got trapped, like Oliveira.
They were like fighting with Oded Fehr, at least, who is STARS, but fair enough. If I got confused again, I apologize.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm not sure. Oliveira was Umbrella. Yeah.
All right. And then another thing. So one of the things that happens that really makes Oded Fehr and sad in this movie is that they airdrop in like the Nemesis's guns, and he and his partner are running in to try to like catch them so that they can be all like, hey, take us out, because they're, you know, a helicopter is dropping them off, and then the helicopter ignores them. And then his partner is like, Umbrella doesn't care about us. And it's like, yeah, no shit, dude. Companies that employ mercenaries do not care about their mercenaries. But anyways, why?
No, he's not a contractor, bro. He's a full time employee.
Okay, how's this? If a company employs hired killers, that company does not care about human life anymore because they're the hired killer gang.
You don't think they have like wait. 6 weeks off and like free coffee and all that shit like back at the HQ?
No. Lawrence, I'm pretty sure his manager said he was part of the Umbrella family.
And that's why he didn't need to join the hired killers union. It was just going to get in the way of communication between him and the cold-blooded psychopath who orders him to kill.
That's only if you don't trust their CEO.
Yeah. And he, think of all the contract killer dues he'd have to pay, all those skulls and ears. Whereas now he gets to take 100% of that home
and make buy an Xbox.
And make weird necklaces and stare off into the distance, thinking about the people he's killed while idly cutting himself with a knife and drinking bourbon. You know, mercenary stuff.
Mercenary stuff, yeah.
Mercenary stuff.
Yeah. But anyways, why did they just leave the guns with the Nemesis?
What do you mean?
Oh, at the end?
No. Like some cell, right?
But like, just leave them right outside the cell when
you
wake him
up. Locker.
don't like have to airdrop in his guns. He's walking around through a zombie infested city with like a bunch of heavily armed people out to kill all zombies that he doesn't even have his guns. It ends up not mattering.
That was the initialization sequence. Can't start with guns.
I don't think this was planned either, right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
I mean, even though they were developing like him and Alice in the hospital there.
Well, how long has it even been since the first one?
It's like the
days, wasn't it?
Well, it's the next day.
I mean, however long it takes to make Alice a super soldier.
And
I guess that guy in
he turned from a guy into like an overgrown cancer tumor with staples on his face.
Well, I guess technically the first one ended like at this point, but yeah, there was a period where from them coming out of the hive to them reopening the hive. Yeah, I don't know how long that was.
My other question, so they're all like, open the hive, I want to know what went down on there, right? But they don't ever seem to think to ask Alice or the guy they nemesified what it went down
it's
on
so
down
fucking
there.
Fucking stupid. They're just like, really, you're going to reopen this? Like, your entire team died. Like, only like two people came back.
But also just, I mean, if you want to know what went on down there, ask the people who were down there before you do weird psycho, like, experiments on them and turn them into monsters.
Well, also, it seems like the Nemesis was the only one of its type, right? They had to like match it up against all this stuff because they'd never seen it before. But apparently they had a whole program before that guy even showed up with the weird wound. So like, what was it doing before? Was it just like a bunch of money that they didn't know how to spend?
They were waiting for the perfect candidate of a kind of generic early 2000s white guy.
They were like, well, that guy's wound looks weird. Let's just do it on him. I don't know.
He got exposed to the nemesis? The T-virus? Question mark? I don't know.
He got licked by a licker.
Throw him in there.
Think.
He got scratched by a licker.
Okay.
Well, it yeah. seems like he should have gotten licked, given the name.
Look, I agree.
licked by a licker is 100% the name of a licked Japanese by porno. A
yeah. yeah, you would know maybe. Best.
Yeah. So, anyways.
So, I got something else.
Hit me.
Okay, so the very end, like, let's see, they're fighting at the helicopter. No, they're on the helicopter. Alice is. And then, like, she turns around or something. I don't remember exactly what happens, but basically everyone's there. Like, what? Like,
what are you talking about?
Yes.
They're all just in the helicopter. You remember that? Like, there was Dr. Ashford, the evil dude.
Where they all like end up in a circle around the helicopter while they wait for her to fight the nemesis.
Where were you before? Like, what? Why are you even inside the city? Like, what?
Well, he got captured because that guy came in and was like, I knew what you were doing. And then he had that security guard in there. And he was like, I knew about the helicopter the whole time. So that's like, it was all an ambush to, I guess.
And he brought Dr. Attack Ashford
Alice
with
the. I don't really know why he did that, but yes, he did.
That's kind of what happens, your answer to most questions about what happens in this movie.
I was just like, why are these people here? Like,
I also like, don't. Why? Now that we're thinking about that, I also don't really understand the whole forcing Alice to fight the nemesis, because he's like,
they need to find out which one is best.
Well, not why he did that, but how he did that. He's like, I'm going to shoot these people. And she's trying to bluff like, oh, what makes you think I care about these people? So then instead of threatening someone else or whatever, he just shoots Dr. Ashford and says he was an asset to this company. I don't even care about these people. It's like, and then she agrees to do it. Like,
why wouldn't you just shoot one of the other people you don't care about?
Exactly. That was the implication. Well, yeah, but if he wanted to prove he was serious, he could have just shot like Oliveira or someone in the leg or whatever, non-fatal. And that would still have upset Alice, and then she would have done it. He actually wounded or he actually killed Dr. Ashford.
I mean, I know.
Actually was valid.
I would argue that her refusing at all has already made her, I mean,
she's complicit.
Well, she's worse than the nemesis.
She's not taking orders like they want, so she's already failed the experiment. Like, you don't need to.
Yeah.
Well, the experiment isn't to, because they don't have any control over her. The experiment is just to see how strong she is.
Well, right. So it's failed. If you have no control over a strong thing, like.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't have any control over the nemesis ultimately either. So.
They did have some control.
Eventually.
If he turns on you and kills you, so.
I think that all told, the nemesis is probably a better weapon because you can kind of tell it what to do when it's not like thinking about how much it wants to fuck Mila Jovovich, whereas Mila Jovovich hates you and wants you to die.
Yeah. But you didn't.
Also, why did they keep turning people that hate them and like want to destroy their company into unstoppable super weapons? Don't they have like goons? Just turn a goon into this nemesis.
Goons aren't buff enough, bro.
Neither was that guy. Also, if he was really trying to do the whole, like, I'm super psycho, I'll kill my own men shtick, why didn't he just shoot one of his henchmen as opposed to, you know, the, like, genius cybersecurity biotechnician guy who made the company?
The guy who was in a wheelchair and posed zero risk to this operation.
Also, okay, this isn't really a low point, just a funny point. Like, the whole reason this movie happens is because they're trying to take everyone out of the city before the outbreak happens. And they pick up Dr. Ashford and they get him out. And he's like, get my daughter. She's at school. And so they go get him. They go get her out of school and like are driving. And then for no reason, a dump truck just like blows a stop sign and like just fucking obliterates their car and just keeps driving. Like it's 9 a.m.
I think the dump truck was a T-virus truck.
Oh yeah, dude. It was the first. It was like the first one out the gate. It was just like, I'm going straight.
It's like they're opening the hive and you hear like a.
It was a transformer that got infected by the T-virus.
Oh my god, I want Resident Evil versus Transformers now.
Oh my god, it's like two terrible franchises matching up.
I have a lot more affection for Resident Evil than I do for Transformers. I guess partially because I've seen Resident Evil and I've never seen it Transformers. But still.
I have a feeling it's probably because they came out when we were in middle school and Transformers did not.
Transformers, the first one came out in 07 when I think literally I had already left for college and I just didn't care.
So right. I like Resident Evil more, but I'm pretty sure the Transformers series is actually better than this series.
I don't know, dude. At least this series is weird.
Yeah. Although the Transformers series, it's weird because they're kind of goofus and, well, goofus and a different kind of goofus. My understanding is that the Transformers movies, every single movie, they just throw the continuity from the previous movies away. Whereas in this one, they are highly they've got like heavy continuity and build on each other a lot and end up in this like really weird place. Whereas in the other ones, they're just like, yeah, you know, in this one, there's dinosaurs. And the next one, you know, like they were helping King Arthur, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Wait, there's a King Arthur arc?
Yeah.
The Last Knight, dude.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. Shit.
It's not the Transformers helped out with the Underground Railroad.
You gotta watch that one.
But, I haven't seen it either. I'm pretty sure it was in the trailer, though.
Although they fought the Nazis, they did apparently refuse to kill Hitler. So, boo.
Huh.
Yeah. Anyways, you guys, anyone else got any like parting shots on these ones? Or on this?
Yeah, I have one parting shot. I feel like Alice didn't actually win in Alice vs. Nemesis because he'd been shot a billion times and he just got speared, right? Like, I feel like they called it prematurely and they should reshoot the entire movie.
Yeah. With that in mind. Recount.
Nemesis actually won because him being speared doesn't actually do anything to him.
Yeah, he just gets off and he's fine.
No, he's totally fine. I'm like, okay, you guys are.
He seems essentially immortal.
Yeah, right? Like, I'm sorry. I don't care how powerful you are. If you're organic, you get hit by a bullet, like, there's going to be a big old hole.
Well, he just regrows because he has the T-virus. No, I'm not kidding. I think that's actually how he works. Like, in the games, I'm pretty sure he gets blown to hell and just regrows.
But he keeps coming back as, like, more and more tentacly.
He's like, I've got to come back. I've got to come back.
He's like freaking Wolverine, dude.
He's like a fly, then he's a worm, then
he's an old man for some reason.
Spider in a diaper.
He's the that's the Nemesis.
Nemesis, that's the Nemesis.
Yeah.
Ronald, you got a parting shot?
No, I've said enough.
Brandon?
No. I don't know. I'm ready to move on to like three.
I think three, at least. This one is kind of on the knife's edge between being an okay movie and being stupid, sort of. Like, at least if you don't pay attention to it, a lot of it looks like a normal movie. Whereas once we get to three, there's no mistaking that this is a strange, like, weirdo movie for strange, weirdo people.
I kind of agree with you because I think that this one at least has the semblance of a normal plot. Like, oh, something bad is happening in the city and they have to escape. Like, it's pretty clear what's going on. It's pretty clear what the stakes are. From what I remember after this, it just goes like, I don't even know what they're trying to accomplish. And,
I mean, if you write if you're trying to write it, like, from the perspective of a story writer, like, if you're trying to write a story about a virus that once it infects one person, it infects the entire world, it crosses all species, they all instantly become homicidal, they all live forever. Yeah. It's like, it's really hard to like keep going with that, right? Because as soon as it escapes, it's done.
God damn, they keep fucking going though. They keep fucking going, and God bless them.
From what I remember, in the next movie, I mean, essentially, it's post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, it is. 100% is.
I don't really remember how there's like three more movies in this series.
Oh, you'll find out, and it's gonna be glorious.
I love how excited Brandon is because I know he remembers it. I do not.
I know. I'm excited.
Anyways. Okay. So, fuck.
One of you.
Two names, both wrong. Ronald. I understand you have a game for us.
I do have a game for us. It's you know, not particularly a funny game, but it's a game nonetheless.
Great. Just what I wanted from you.
All right. Say you have some machine, or someone gives you this machine, and it will make you three meals a day: breakfast, lunch, dinner, and that's all you can eat. And you can only get one meal per per portion. So you can only make one breakfast, one lunch, one dinner, and that's forever. What are you choosing and why?
Wait, so is it making the stuff out of X and like out of thin air or something?
Yes, out of thin air.
So that means everything that comes out of it is vegan, even if I say meat.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay, who wants to take the first run at this? Okay.
Yeah, Raul. Go for it, Lawrence.
Nah, Raul set volunteered.
Okay.
All right. I would choose... Okay, so when you say choose a meal, is like choosing tacos a meal?
Yeah, you can kind of be general about it, but okay. you can't be like, I'm going to have 1,000 different kinds of tacos. Like, you know, mostly a similar... Or like, you can't be like bread, anything with bread in it counts. You know what I mean?
Fuck. All right. I do tacos, burritos, and sandwiches.
Tacos and burritos are pretty similar.
They are.
Are they? Are you at least going hard tacos?
Yeah, like I feel like I need the crunchiness, so I need to vary among different types of mouthfeel, I guess they call it, and different. I feel like I want them at least two of them to be spicy, and they need to be like meals that I can like swap between, and they work for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, so I can like choose whatever I want. You know, hopefully that'll keep me sane for a good year or two before I blow my brains out for ruin my life.
Unfortunately, none of the meals you chose was a bullet, so.
But I could probably squish a sandwich into a bullet.
Oh yeah,
the Mythbusters did something on that, making a meat bullet. I think so. I don't remember though. They did a couple different types of bullets.
Also, all you have to do is just keep ordering spicy Italian sandwiches, and if you eat those nothing but those 3 times a day, probably dead of hypertension in a year or two, right?
Let's assume that health issues are an aside here. You can talk about like stomach feel and stuff like that, but let's not assume that you have to worry about like heart disease
from my meat machine.
You could choose that. I mean, it'd be risky because you have no idea what it tastes like.
Well, he said no health concerns, so you don't have to worry about kuru, at least. Oh, yes, I got my kuru reference.
Yeah, you did. I was about to say. I just want bull testicles for my third meal, just so I can get that maximum dose of testosterone. The other two are just nice. Whatever. Just pure oatmeal for one, and for two, just protein powder. Number three, bull testicles.
You got a lot of answers here. So you're just going oatmeal, protein powder, and bull testicles, but they're three separate meals.
Final answer.
Man, your poops are going to be bad.
Yeah, he said no health concerns, all right?
Yeah, I think that you know, that's not like a health thing. You're not going to die from it, but you're still going to experience the poop.
Bro,
you're going to have a
imagine how strong you'd be at the end of this perfect bodybuilding.
Are you also planning on taking on the curse of eating with your butt or something? Do you remember the challenge that we did a while back?
What?
Would you rather eat with your mouth or poop with your or eat with your butt or poop with your mouth?
No, that's too far.
That's the bridge too far, bro. Sorry.
Anyways, right. Brandon, what are you going to make of this?
So let me see if I understand this, because Raul's answer just kind of confused me. So I'm just supposed to pick one thing for the three meals of the day, and this machine will only make that forever, and that's what I have to eat?
That's right.
Okay, so this is kind of... It's just a little weird for me because I already only make 4 or 5 different things.
So you're already pretty much on the machine.
I'm already doing this challenge IRL.
Now it's just free, bro.
I'll just say what I eat. French toast, pizza, and burritos.
Those are three solid choices.
Man, French toast is so good.
French toast is so good. I kind of want some French toast.
Yeah, let's go. Waffle House right now.
Waffle House.
Wherever they
are. I don't think they serve French toast at Waffle House.
I mean, they shouldn't. It's not a fucking waffle.
It's waffle eat.
I'm not actually sure. They have a very limited menu, though.
Yeah. Anyways, the fact that this is a chance for me to experience a bunch of like non-vegan stuff, but have it be vegan is intriguing. But I am also having to balance that with the fact that, for instance, chicken wings are great as a once in a while thing, but every single time I get them, I order way too many because it's like, oh my God, I'm going to let myself eat chicken wings for the first time in years. So I get like 60 and then I eat like 20 and then I'm like, oh God, what have I done?
Did you say
I
hate 60? Myself. You get 60 chicken wings?
Yeah, it's bad.
That's expensive. You eat all those bones?
That's like 30 chickens.
Yeah. Holy fuck.
Fucking massacre.
Bad guys.
Like from vegan to straight up serial killer.
Jesus Christ. It's like a chicken apocalypse over here.
As soon as the chickens see him coming, they're like, oh God, I've only heard legends.
He's a vegan most of the time.
But it looks like he just broke it. This summer. Dun, dun.
Oh, that's so good.
he's the nemesis of the chicken world.
Oh, man.
So anyways, so for breakfast, obviously the one thing in this whole world I wish I could get and can't because of veganism, huevos rancheros, beans on the side, papas on the side, corn tortillas, yellow corn, not blue. No, actually, let's go blue. And then made with red chili, identical to the kind that they serve at Durand's. And I'd like the eggs to be poached in it, I think. Well, actually, I'd like the option of switching up the egg cooking if I'm allowed to. But if not, I think I'm going to go eggs poached in the chili, not over easy. Oh, fuck. I don't know, though. I love over easy. No, fuck it. I'm going over easy. Yeah. Eggs over easy. Then for lunch, let's see. I need to get a little bit of fiber in there. So I think I'm going to go with a grilled Caesar salad, grilled chicken Caesar salad, get a little bit of protein, get a lot of fiber, healthier, good stuff. Miss those. I can't have them because even the dressing, if done properly, is not vegan, and I miss that a lot. And then for dinner, fuck it. I'm following my heart. Pizza from Old Town Pizza Parlor with the breadsticks or with the like mozzarella, you know, bread. Garlic bread, and I'm going to get a side of garlic sticks as well. Or, you know, mozzarella sticks, those things. So, yeah, just three things I miss pretty hard. And oh, and a side of Greek salad, which is also another thing vegans can't have because of the feta and the cheese and the Greek dressing. So, yeah. So
that's a very well thought out answer.
Yeah, it is.
It's interesting.
I was going to say Soylent for all three.
I was actually toyed with saying come all day, but ultimately I decided that I miss Durand so much. Hey,
what are you on, Rahul's pirate ship?
I don't know if we should go there, Ronald. I don't know if the listener's ready for that.
I don't get this reference.
No, let's not.
Let's save that for a rainy day.
You could, in principle, Lawrence. I'm not saying you should, but since you haven't made your choices officially yet.
I did just make them officially.
No, I'm not programmed in the machine yet, so I'm saying you could do three different species come.
Yeah, like, okay, I think Chinese, Mexican, and French. Types of food? No.
No.
That was a good joke, Brandon. It was disgusting, but it was good. Ronald,
oh God,
are you really gonna go soil it?
No, okay. I'll have a real answer. All right, pancakes, egg, and sausage for breakfast. That's a classic, and I miss it. I don't really eat very much red meat anymore. Lunch. Also, I just don't really eat breakfast anymore. But I guess I'd have it on there as an option.
So this machine is just wasted on you.
Well, I would, you know, I would maybe make it occasionally, but the breakfast part would probably be wasted.
Every day he pushes the button and then goes and finds a homeless person and hands him some disappointing cold eggs.
Lunch, I think I would do probably like a spinach and strawberry salad or something like that. Because I usually eat a pretty light lunch, and then dinner is a tough one. But it would probably have to be sushi for me. And it would probably just be like a variety of, I would go through a bunch of different roles or something like that
for yeah, dinner. Sorry, dude, you only get to choose one role for this.
Then it would have to be probably a salmon roll.
You know, this is a weird fact about me. I have had sushi, but because I only started having it after I went vegetarian, I have never actually had sushi with fish in it, and I have no idea what it's like.
Oh, vegan? I've had sushi.
Sometime when we go order 60 chicken wings, when you're breaking edge anyways, we'll try real sushi.
Yeah.
Anyways, is that how that works?
Sure, why not? I could just throw it all on my sin pile and be like, God, please forgive me for this. I did the kidney thing. Does it cancel out? Probably not. I don't think that's how sin works. Whatever.
Well, it was the same day, so, you know, it's only one time.
I'm like going to try to donate a liver, and everyone's like, why? And it's like, I want chicken wings, God damn it.
Like, I don't see the correlation, but okay.
Yeah. Anyways, with that out of the way, let's do some recommendations and cautions. What do you guys think?
Let's do it.
Brandon, you want to go first?
Sure. So I have a recommendation, which is a movie that's just the letter X. It's like a slasher movie. I'm pretty sure it was released this year. And it's, I thought it was pretty interesting. It's sort of in a, I think it's actually, yeah, it's set in 1979. So it's kind of a 70s style filming. And these kids are going out to a ranch outside of Houston or Austin, something like that, to film a porn. And they think they're going to get rich because they're like starting their own little company and they're going to make lots of movies. And they're renting a like detached house from this super old conservative couple, and they're just going to hide that they're doing this from them. And like there's right off the bat, there's some weird stuff about the couple, including like religion and like fundamentalist Christianity kind of plays a part in this movie. And they do some interesting like juxtaposition-y things with like what the porn people are doing versus what the old couple are doing. But yeah, then once it turns to a straight up slasher movie, there are a couple things that's like a little, I don't know. I wouldn't say there was anything that's like ridiculous. Like, oh, how could like an old person like chase this person down and stab them? Like, I think all the kills were set up pretty reasonably. And yeah, I thought it was pretty tense. I will note that I went afterwards and looked at some IMDb reviews because I was looking at other stuff on IMDb about someone I thought I recognized, and it's like fucking 1 star or 9 stars. Like people either really hated this movie or thought it was really great. But yeah, I thought it was pretty good. So worth checking out. For a caution, I would keeping with the Resident Evil theme, I would caution Welcome to Raccoon City, which is the new series. It's the first movie of the new series being started that's supposed to follow the video games more. So the cast of the first movie is like, I think, yeah, Jill, Wesker, both the Redfields, Leon, and some other people. And it's just constant back and forth between high and low points for me. And I think it kind of maybe comes out below average. It's a little messy. The only thing I would say is that it might be worth watching if you just want to follow the new series, because yeah, you probably have to watch the first one. But yeah, it's not amazing. So
you guys cool if I go next?
Yep.
Okay, so first off, my recommendation is for a movie called Togo. This is a movie that came out on Disney Plus in 2019. It was actually one of the Disney Plus launch movies. It's a historical drama set during the Noam Serum run of like 1921, starring Willem Dafoe as Sipala, who is one of the mushers. The basic idea is that there's a diphtheria outbreak. They need to get some medicine up to a remote Alaskan town. The medicine's very far away, so they're going to have to do this sort of relay to get the medicine there. It's the same story that Balto was part of, if you're, you know, no Balto, although the movie makes the point that Balto really shouldn't deserve much of the credit. The vast majority of the distance, or the most person who ran the most distance, was this dude named Sigpala, who had this amazing dog named Togo. and it's just sort of his story. And it's basically Willem Dafoe first being annoyed by and then charmed by and then coming to rely on this dog. And, you know, yeah, maybe I'm a little bit of an idiot, but for falling for Disney's like emotional manipulations and shit, but it's a surprisingly adult movie. You get to hear Willem Dafoe talking a lot, really old timey. So if you wanted to get that and you've already watched The Lighthouse, this is another place you could see that. And the dog is excellent. And it features a lot of what appears to be on location shooting in Alaska with comparatively little digital effects. Actually, I think it was filmed in Canada, but still like really pretty pictures of the backcountry. And just an incredible dog who does incredible shit to save his human and a bunch of other like little kids from dying of a horrible disease. And I like that story and I like dogs. So I like this movie. And, you know, if you could go in not being a cynical bastard for once, Ronald, you might like it too.
Yeah, the ending was a bummer though. They all died horribly.
Ronald. That doesn't happen. You can go look up on what Wikipedia what happens. And what happens is that Togo and Zapala save all the kids, and it's great.
You didn't watch the after credit scene, bro. You missed the part where that was all just a fever dream.
Yeah. The medicine was the T virus, bro.
It dried up the oceans.
Whoops.
God damn it.
What happened to the ice caps in the dry?
You don't remember when that happened back in the 1920s or whatever you said?
Yeah. And for my caution, so I got super sick last weekend, like, and I was stuck in bed with 103 degree fever drifting in and out of consciousness. So I spent a lot of time watching movies.
Do not recommend.
Yeah, that part kind of sucked, although I did lose some weight. So I guess if you really want to lose weight, you could try to catch the neurovirus, but you might also just try jogging and eating less. I don't know. But anyways, and I tried watching this film, Escape Plan 2. I kind of liked the first Escape Plan. It's just this very sort of dumb but stripped down later period Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger thriller. But this one, it's nominally a Sylvester Stallone movie, but he's mostly just in the background investigating stuff, which is not something that Sylvester Stallone looks particularly realistic doing, while a Chinese guy does most of the action, and the Chinese guy gets kidnapped and put into a super jail. And then it turns out that this takes place in a science fiction universe because there are like robots and force fields and shit, even though it was nominally supposed to take place in the present day in our world. And I fell asleep and gave up around the time that they discovered that the prison was apparently like crawling through the earth or something, question mark. So, yeah.
That's all based on a true story, too.
It's the same true story, strangely. So Paula got into some trouble after he saved them kids. Or I guess died. Whatever. No, I don't like speaking that evil into the world. Anyways, Ronald, what do you have aside from shitting on good movies about good dogs?
All right, I got two recommendations this week instead of a caution. First recommendation is actually a manga. It's the One Punch Man manga, which is just absolutely fucking incredible. And the current arc and the current issues that have been released have been like insane and really good. So if you're interested in that, you should definitely check it out. There's a lot of different ways to read it, but there's a Shonen Jump app and it's really cheap. So I do that. Yeah. And then for my other recommendation, The Mist. It's like I think it's a 2006 movie with Thomas Jane. And it's basically like, what if Half-Life 1 happened from the perspective of a nearby town? And it's just like a pretty sweet horror movie. It's got a really cool ending. Definitely worth checking out. Like it's not a perfect movie or anything, but I really enjoyed it. I've seen it a couple of times now. Yeah, those are my two. Rahul?
All right, I only have one caution. So season one of Legion was fantastic. Season two is like, it just does this thing where it just like refuses to get to the point.
Oh, that's so sad.
And it just feels like, it's just like trying to keep going. It's just really annoying. So that's my caution. I recommend watching it because you might have a different opinion on it, but Yeah.
So it's not a caution, it's a recommend.
It's a caution. I don't know. It's a mixed
recommendation.
Right, like I don't want to influence you into thinking. Maybe that's just the way I feel about it.
That's the point of a recommendation or a caution.
Yeah. But it's good to highlight that for
it's a light caution.
Yeah. It's just my opinion, my caution against it.
Jesus Christ. I love you discovering the meaning of a recommendation in real time. And then saying you're not doing that. I don't want to influence your mind.
I don't want to influence you, but I thought it was annoying and boring.
Okay.
Brace yourself for my influence.
Anyways, anyone got a plug?
Yeah, I like to plug this vacation resort town. They have like really great seafood, nice beaches, super scenic, weather is great. I recommend it. It's called Imboca. I think it's in Spain.
Reference Rahul and I get and no one else. Brandon, you might actually remember this. That was the town from Dagon.
I was thinking that's what it sounded like, but I wasn't sure. I also was like 99% expecting him just to say Albuquerque.
Nice beaches.
We got Tingley Beach. It's
no, they closed that. They closed the beach.
I don't. I run by it every day.
No. The beach.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah.
Where Topgolf is.
Close the beach.
It was pretty weird that we, for a while, had a pretty big water park in the middle of the fucking desert.
Civilization, right? Vegas is like that.
Yeah, been to California?
All of LA is that.
Yeah. You know, it's right by the coast, too. How does that even work?
Yeah. Anyways, from all of us at Bad Time Radio, don't worship Satan. It's bad for you.
If you'd like to recommend an episode of Old Time Radio for us to listen to, send us a question for the mailbag, or a pedantic correction, you can reach us at radiobadtime@gmail.com. Our theme music is Finger in the Bottle by We Ashore Dedicated off their album No Ski Here Okie Sap. Thanks so much for listening.
Life's gonna get rich.